This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly on Bloomberg Radio.
And welcome back, everyone, as we wrap up the show here on a Tuesday afternoon. Really interesting conversation upcoming about endowments with an endowment chief and, of course, our endowments guru. She is Janet Lauren. She's our endowment supporter here at Bloomberg in our Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studio. And joining us on the phone, Doug Phillips, Chief Investment Officer at the University of Rochester, on the phone from Rochester, New York. Doug, great to have you with Carol and Janet and myself. Before we get into it, though, have to send you some congratulations. The Nobel Prize in Physics awarded today to one of your alums.
That's correct. We're absolutely delighted. She's a laser physicist and developed some important technology, and also one of our faculty members, former faculty members in laser, won a Nobel Prize. So that's two announced today, and that brings our total to 11 for a small school.
That's pretty impressive. So
Donna Strickland. Let's shout out for Donna. First woman in 55 years to win a Nobel Prize, and she's one of ours, and we're just thrilled around here to see that.
Joining the company of Marie Curie in 1903.
Wait, first woman in did you say first woman in 50 years to win a Nobel?
55 years.
Oh, my God.
And Gerald Morrow is the other person from Rochester that won. So things are happening up here in New York State, in case you didn't know that.
There you go. So, let's talk money. Let's talk endowments here. What's the biggest thing that we need to understand about the investing environment from an endowments perspective? You know, we hear a lot of market strategists. We hear a lot of people, you know, some of whom have money on the line. You really have money on the line. You got to pay for a lot of the things that are happening up at your university. What's the sense you have of the markets right now?
Well, in fact, one of the reasons that we all enjoy this work is that it does pay the salaries of faculty and researchers like the folks that win these prizes. We are long-term. The universities are perpetual, so are the colleges. And we try to look through current valuation increases, perhaps above the fundamentals that underlie them, and look for better values around the world. And so we're global investors. And Janet, I know, has heard from me in the past to say that we continue to be fairly optimistic about emerging markets based on values and growth rates. And we do like private companies more so than many public companies right now, partly because of the management that good partners can put into those companies, and not worrying about quarterly earnings calls and that sort of thing. So again, I guess two things are outside the U.S. and private companies.
So one thing you wanted to talk a little bit about today was transportation. One thing that struck me, you said your immediate past president was fond of saying that he was unprepared to deal with problems of parking. But today's younger generation may not be as interested in driving cars, which has a big impact for investors like yourself. Set the stage for us.
I appreciate the latitude you're giving me on this topic, because it's not related to investing, really. But maybe there is an opportunity here for companies like Uber and Lyft and other ride scheduling companies to improve what is a very inefficient way of moving people around. And, you know, we're the largest employer now outside of the metropolitan New York City area, fifth largest in the state of New York. And we have about 32,000 people that drive cars to the campus every day. So we have these big garages and parking on surface lots, and we have shuttle buses that take people around. I read a lot in my job, and I try to be a little bit of a futurist. The idea that these buses could be scheduled in a way that takes them away, here in Rochester it was a hub-and-spoke system, but brings them more into the Uber world, where people could look at bus schedules on their phones, and buses could be summoned, and scheduling could be done based on where people are starting and ending their journeys. And most of these buses in upstate New York lose money. They're not like your subway systems in MTA in New York City. They're heavily subsidized by the state. So I'm encouraging states, New York State, others, to set legislation to encourage Uber and others to offer their services to public bus companies. In fact, require the public bus companies that get subsidies to use these services, so that our employees and others can find more efficient ways to get to work.
You know, Doug, I do wonder about someone like yourself, where you guys are looking for investments that you're going to potentially hold on to for a long time, right? That's how you guys think. And I'm just curious, where do you look? What do you read? Where do you go to say, okay, these are going to be the investment trends of the future and that are going to, you know, be with us for a while?
Well, see, here I would have to be advertising for these research services, the independent research services that we use. There are three or four of them, plus some consultants that are involved. But institutional investors generally get information. They pay for it. It's not paid out of brokerage commissions or anything like that. We pay hard dollars. And here we have three or four services that we access online, and there's physical delivery of magazines and that sort of thing. And they're available to the public, but I won't offer names here because I don't think it's appropriate for me to endorse any of them. But that's where we get a lot of ideas. And we look for services that sort of have the same stories to tell. And maybe there's something here that we should pay attention to.
So you see inefficient markets right there in Rochester in terms of transportation. How do you think about those as an investor that, you know, here's the problem, we have some capital, who's doing interesting things that we can invest in?
The problem with investing in things like that is it's a there's government involvement in public transportation, and so infrastructure investments, they can be profitable. For our illiquid category, we tend to look for higher returning opportunities. But look, I think a well-established ride scheduling service like Uber or Lyft or others could make money on this. Slightly higher fares with these companies taking a percentage. I think it's good for their bottom line. Dara Khosrowshahi, who runs Uber, has said publicly earlier this year that they are going to enter the bus market. And when they do, I think it could help the stock. So stay tuned on that. Again, a futurist looking ahead, I think we'll see a different bus system in the next 5 to 10 years in many cities.
Interesting perspective. Doug Phillips, Chief Investment Officer at the University of Rochester, joining us on the phone. Janet Lauren, Endowments Reporter, joining us here in our Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studio. All right, Carol. Tuesday. In the books.
In the books. Next, it'll be interesting. We have some more Fed speakers coming up, continuing to track the news out of Washington. And, of course, as we mentioned, interesting story on the president and his wealth. We'll see how that's going to play out, whether or not the world of politics will notice, whether the world of investing will notice it.
Absolutely. Markets have been immune to some extent so far. We'll see whether that changes as midterms creep ever closer. This is Bloomberg Business Week.